Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Good, good. All right. Well, hey, if you haven't attended group church yet on Wednesday nights, I don't know where my lights are. I guess I'm going to be in the dark today. But you can Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, there we go, is group church. I want to especially invite you, if you're new to Vibe Church and you would love to connect with this family, we'll get it. Thanks, guys. These guys serve so faithfully. Give them a break, right? Give them a little round of applause, too. Thank you for what you do. I want to invite you, if you're new to Vibe, to connect with us this Wednesday night. I'm doing what we call connect. We have our dinner, we have our time of our small groups, but I'd like to invite you to spend some time with Robin and I and just share a little bit about Vibe, hear your story, so you can join us at 6 o'clock for that. Also, if you haven't downloaded the app, do that, because there's a lot of events going on, but there's also the notes for the message are in there every week, and you've got some fill-in-the-blanks and some questions and some things that, if you're one of those that likes to fill in the blanks, I know you're out there, you can fill in the blanks and do that, so we've got that available for you. Man, we lost an hour of sleep last night, didn't we? Yeah, didn't even miss it. That's what Ken said. Now listen, my son and his wife decided that last night would be a great night for us to have both of their boys. And so they didn't even ask. They just said, hey, do you mind keeping, actually, I don't even think they said. They just said, here they are. But we love it. We love it. And had a great time and not only lost an hour of sleep, but had toddlers again in the house. Woo! Those of you who have toddlers, I worship you. Hats off. You are amazing. Time is an amazing thing. And this Sunday is probably the one Sunday of the year that I do not like at all. It's because we lose that hour of sleep. And then in the fall, it's like, yes, we gain an hour. But in reality, it's just kind of like switching money from one hand to another, right? We don't gain or lose an hour. It just shifted around a little bit. But when you remember when you were young, any old people in here? We're all old. No, but I remember when I was young, you felt like you had all the time in the world to do things, right? And you remember, when I was growing up, I really don't remember this, and I don't think we did this back when I was a kid, but we never said the words, I'm bored, to my parents. Now, kids are like, I'm bored, I'm bored. We just went out. I know why my mom kicked us out of the house every Saturday morning, and after church, we weren't even allowed in the house, till it was dinner time. We just like get out, and we never were bored. But when you're younger, you feel like, man, I got all the time in the world. I remember starting out in life and getting my first job at Publix, working at the garage, and people talking about investing, and I'm thinking, investing? What? What are you thinking? I'm gonna spend this money. It's burning a hole in my pocket, right? And then listening to people say, if you just put $100 a month away, if you start now, you'll be a rich man. And it's true, I would have been, but now I'm not a rich man. So we feel like we have all the time in the world. And then seems like as we get older, then we start thinking about retirement, right? And we gotta I gotta plan for the end and get some things together. And time is something that we try to manage, we try to control, we try to balance it, right? When I first started out as a youth pastor, I'm not the best. I've gotten way better. But when I started out as this young guy, I really did not manage my time well. I felt like 90% was for fun and the other was for work, right? And I realized I got to manage this. I've got a family. I got to manage time and give enough time for family, give enough time for work, give enough time for just me and, recreation and all that stuff. And so I attended a time management seminar. Anybody ever been to a time management seminar? Wow, only a few of you? All right. They're really good. Learned a lot. A lot of good things to do, good practices to do. Now, you know, that's back before cell phones. I know that makes me sound really old. But, now we have smartphones and things. And so there's a lot of things that have changed in technology. But there's a lot that we can learn. And so I set out on this journey to manage my time. I'm going to be a good steward of my time. And I'm going to manage it well. And so I'd get a schedule. And the night before, I'd schedule out my day. And everything was good. And, you know, very little of my day actually went the way that I planned. Have you found that to be true? You've ever experienced that? You plan out your week. Any planners in the house? Yeah? You plan out your week. Now, you know, I do plan my week out. I plan my days out. I plan my years out. I work on my sermon series a year in advance. So I already know what I'm preaching on Christmas. Not exactly, but I have a good idea. So I've come a long way, baby, you know, a long way. And so I've learned how to manage things. But here's something that I've learned, is that I can try my hardest to organize my day and manage my day and get my week all in line, but something always interrupts it. Something always changes my schedule. Now, you know, if you're one of those people that's just a hard line, you know, you're not going to let anything or anyone interrupt your schedule. You know, you're tough like that. Good for you, but I'm not that kind of person. And so sometimes things just happen that are out of my control, right? Things happen that are out of your control. Like Monday morning, you got your week planned. You're going to get so much done. You're going to get so much accomplished. And all of a sudden, on the way to work, your car breaks down. Like, oh, I didn't think of that. I didn't plan for that, right? Or all of a sudden, Monday morning, you start feeling sick and you find yourself in bed for a few days and like, man, I didn't plan for that. Or the kids get sick. Something happens. Things happen, right? Life happens. As much as we try to balance our time and manage our time and control our time, we are not in control, right? Time is interesting. When I was, a couple weeks ago, I spent some time in the DMV. Have you ever spent time in the DMV? I was there for about 12 years. No, it was actually about 30 minutes. But it feels like 12 years, doesn't it? It's like, God, why have you forsaken me? I'm here. And you know, there's news on and they're talking coronavirus and you got all these people. You're just like, where's my mask? You know, and it just seems like the longest time. But yet, just a few hours ago, I had toddlers of my own at home. I had a son and a daughter that I was taking care of. And just like that. What happened? They grew up and they're having babies and what's happening, right? Some things in life seem like they never will end and some things go so fast. Time is one of those things that it's hard for us to grab a hold of. It's hard for us to manage it as much as we want to try to manage it, right? There are really three different ways, in your notes, you can see three different ways that we can spend our time. We spend our time in thoughts, conversations, and actions. And you know, we all have, obviously, this is a no-brainer, but we all have the same amount of time in a day. I don't have any extra. You don't have any extra. You may be one of those that tries to peel off a few extra hours by sleeping less. Not me. I'm sleeping. I like my 8 hours of sleep, and I'm going to stay with it. But we all have the same amount of time. It's just where we spend it, right? But time is valuable. I've never met anybody. I know some people want to declare, my time's valuable. Guess what? All of our time is valuable, right? Everyone values their time. No one's just sitting around saying, man, I got time to blow. You know, just who wants to do something? You know, we all have a limited amount of time. It's a commodity for us. I mean, you know, when you're going through different things in life and you know, you've got to sleep, like we said, you got to work, right? Somebody's got to work. Somebody's got to make some money around here. We've got to, you know, take care of the kids, right? Those of you who have small children, man, You know, they don't bathe themselves. If they do, your bathroom's flooded. It's dangerous, right? They don't use the bathroom on their own if you don't want to do that, right? I mean, you got to stay after them. You got to make them breakfast and lunch and dinner. And somebody's got to do the dishes, right? Somebody's got to clean the house. Somebody's got to put the toys away. Every time my grandsons come over, it looks like a hurricane came through our house. Now, Robin and I, we live alone. We're empty nesters. And so, you know how empty nesters, it's just like, it's pristine, right? Right, Mary? You know? I mean, our houses are empty, right? They just got, but then when the kids come over, it's like, and somebody's got to clean those toys up. And I just think about my daughter-in-law, every time my kids leave, I'm like, that's why when we go to their house, there's toys everywhere. Because you just say, forget it. They're just going to, this season will pass. There will be a time. And it's true, enjoy them. But time is a commodity. There's so much, it seems like, that's just grabbing for our time. And it's hard for us to balance that, to balance our time and to manage our time and to control our time, because things happen. Life happens, right? Things that you don't plan for happen. And you can get frustrated. You can just get all out of sorts. And some people do. You're like, oh, man, the traffic jam. It's like, or just go with the flow. Things are going to happen. You almost have to really plan for things to happen. It has to be your contingency plan to know that life is going to happen. There's a passage of scripture I want to read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, but I want to give you kind of a little insight into God's word a little bit before we jump into that passage of scripture. I don't know how many of you have ever read through the book of Ecclesiastes, but there are three books in the Old Testament referred to as the wisdom literature by the Jewish people and by us as Christians. And it's part of the Jewish Bible, and it's part of our Bible. And so this wisdom literature is Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And so if you ever read through Ecclesiastes and you've taken it and just looked at it all by itself, there's parts of Ecclesiastes that are a little bit depressing. Sometimes, if you look at Proverbs, that's like, man, there's it's great. This, if you do this, this is going to happen, right? There's all these promises. But Ecclesiastes is a little bit different. It's almost like three different people or three different teachers teaching on wisdom. And Ecclesiastes, the teacher is different from Proverbs, different from Job. And he's basically saying, this is how life is. Without all the fluff, without all the puff, and almost, I guess you could refer to this person as a realist, right? Now, I'm an optimist. I'm more of a Proverbs kind of guy. But the realist just says, listen, this is how it is, And so, same writer, it's Solomon, who is the son of King David. And he writes this in Ecclesiastes 3. See, there's a time for everything. Some of you know this passage. Had a chance this week. We were in Dallas to go to the place where John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And it was amazing. This was happened, when I was, even before I was born, actually. And but it said that this was his favorite passage of scripture. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Here's what this passage of Scripture is saying to us. That as much as we try to manage our time and balance our time and, you know, control our time, things happen. There are things that happen in our lives that are out of our control. But what this passage of Scripture is telling us is that God is in control. You're saying, where does it say that? I'm going to show you. God is in control. See, as much as we want to control our time, and listen, I'm among, I share the same feelings. I would love to be able to control my week. I would love to be able to sit down and work out my calendar and know that everything is going to happen, and I've got it all figured out, right? And I've been working on a retention wall in my backyard for 3 months, and it keeps raining. I can't do it, right? And things happen that are out of our control. It would have been done really 2 months ago if it would stop raining ever. I think we've got the most rain we've ever gotten in a winter season, you know? But things happen. As much as we try to control them, as much as we try to manage them and balance them, things happen that are out of our control, but it's not out of God's control. He says that there is a time and a season for everything. Everything under heaven. What that says is it's under God's control. Every bit of time, all seasons of our life are under heaven, under His control, right? And what happens here, what happens in our life, even if we didn't plan it, it's under heaven. It's under heaven. And if we understand this, if we can grab a hold of this concept, we can live a life with a sense of sanity, with a sense of confidence, with some balance. But if we live life thinking, you know what, I'm in control of my time. I'm in control of my schedule. I'm going to manage this thing. I'm going to balance everything out. Good luck with that, because there's so much that's out of our control. People interrupt our lives, right? Things happen in our family members' lives that we didn't plan for. How much happened already in 2020 that you didn't expect, right? It's like, well, you know, hey, didn't you see my calendar? You're not allowed to get messed up this year. Didn't you see what I had scheduled? You're not allowed to do this. And things happen that are out of our control, but it's not out of God's control. And if we can grasp that, if we can understand, if we can embrace that it's all under heaven, all the times, all the seasons, if we'll grasp it, we can maintain some sanity in our lives, right? And maintain some joy and some peace. Now, I know that I can't manage everything that happens in my life. But everything that happens is under heaven. Everything that happens is under heaven. Do you believe that? Yeah. I do. I believe that. God's in control. Now, He allows and He permits things to happen in a certain season and time in my life. You know, if you've lived long enough, which I think most of you have, and you realize that life in this passage of Scripture really shows us that life is both wonderful and it's awful, right? It's both wonderful and it's awful. It's filled with moments that are bitter and moments that are just full of profound joy. People are born and people die. Profound joy, profound grief. That's the world we live in, right? We weep, we laugh, we work, we play. And Solomon just lays it out there. He said, this is life. He removes all the fluff, all the puff. He said, this is life. But he says, it's under heaven. It's under God's control. Ecclesiastes further on down, verse 9 through 11. I don't think it's on the screen, but let me read it. It says, what do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. and he has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We don't understand the seasons that we find ourselves in. We don't understand how they work from beginning to end. We don't understand how God uses different things in our lives, but he does. He does. In a powerful way, he uses those things. There's a story in Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50. If you've never read the story of Joseph, you need to take some time and do it because it's an awesome story. They've made movies about it, cartoon movies, Prince of Egypt, have you ever seen it? You know? But there's just so much richness in this story, and I want to look at that story this morning. I want to spend a little time, if we can look at Joseph's life, and maybe draw some things from it. Joseph was number 11 of 12 sons. He was very special to his father, Jacob, for a lot of reasons. You can read it and find out. But he was so special that his father gave him a special coat of many colors, it's referred to. And Joseph would wear this coat. I'm sure that it would just invoke jealousy among his brothers. Kind of a stupid move by dad. I get it, you know. That's the cool thing about the Bible is that God doesn't whitewash. He doesn't paint a perfect picture. He just shows our humanity. And so Joseph does this. He gives him this special coat, shows favor, and Joseph, you know, feels that favor. And God begins to speak to Joseph, not because he's favored, but because he has a plan for Joseph's life. And he begins to speak to Joseph through dreams. And he has these different dreams, and he tells his brothers, because he's excited about the dreams. Here's the problem, though. The dreams involved his brothers basically worshiping him. But he was so excited about it, you know? Who wouldn't be, right? Like, hey, guys, guess what? One day you're going to bow down and worship me. They're like, yeah, right. Now, being the youngest of four boys, I know that would not have went over well with my older brothers. And so here's Joseph, and he shares this. And then if that wasn't enough, he has another dream, and he shares it again, and it's basically the same thing. And so the brothers are just, man, we got to get rid of this guy. I mean, we got to get rid of him. And this was like sibling rivalry to nth degree. I mean, it was bad. And so the brothers, the older brothers, are out tending sheep, and we're not talking about teenagers. We're talking young adults, you know, men who have families. These guys are out tending sheep, the father's flocks, and Jacob sends Joseph. Another stupid move. Sends Joseph out to check on them. Like, hey, I need you to be a spy for me, Joseph. Go check on your brothers, because I think they're goofing off on the job. Family business, you know. You know how it is. If you have a family business, the kids kind of eat the food and, you know, sell maybe a little bit, take a little out of the register. Anyway, they're goofing around. And so Joseph goes to check on them. And when he goes to check on them, they see that as their opportunity to take Joseph out. And so they talk about, first of all, they get him and they throw him into this well that was dried up. You couldn't climb out of it. And so they threw him in there. And then they thought about, okay, what do we do with him? Let's kill him. Let's kill him. And so they were going to kill him, and they were going to create this story and explain to their father. And then one of the brothers says, wait, let's not kill him, because he sees a caravan coming. And he says, let's sell him into slavery. Let's at least make a buck off the guy, right? And so they sell him into slavery, and he heads to Egypt as a slave. You ever heard this story? Most of you have, right? All that happens in just the first few chapters. Really, I think it's the first chapter, 37, 38. And so he finds himself in Egypt as a slave. He's bought by a man named Potiphar, who's a high official in Egypt. And he begins to basically be a slave in Potiphar's house and take care of things and manage things. And after a while, he does such a good job that Potiphar puts him in charge of everything in his house. Gives him a lot of, as a slave, he had all the responsibility of running this guy's affairs. All of the stuff that he had, whether it was businesses, his home, everything, Joseph ran it. And he trusted Joseph, and Joseph was faithful. And then something happens. Potiphar's wife notices that the Bible says that he was well-built and handsome. He's like, And she wants to seduce him. And so she says to him over and over, come and have sex with me. Come and have sex with me. Come sleep with me. And he's like, no, I would never do that. No, I'd never do that. And so one day she goes and tries to grab him, and he escapes, leaving his jacket. And because she falsely accuses him, he gets put in prison. He sits in prison for a while. He has a couple of opportunities to maybe get out, and those fall through. He gets his hopes up because he interprets the dreams of the cupbearer, the baker. And he thinks as when they get out, they're going to tell Pharaoh that I didn't do it, and he's going to get free. And those hopes that he had that somebody would remember him in prison were dashed. And he sat there and he sat there. We don't know how long he sat there, but it was years. Years that he sat there, and he felt like he was all alone. Now, I don't know what season you're in. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know this, that we all go through seasons. We all go through things that we don't have control over. As much as we want to manage and balance and control the things and the time and what we do with our time, we go through things, right? And we go through different seasons, and we find ourselves in those seasons. And when you look at the life of Joseph, and we're reading through and we're just talking about his life, these are different seasons that he's gone through, different things that have happened in his life. And maybe you felt like you were thrown into a prison. Maybe you felt like the people around you despised you, were jealous of you. And maybe you felt like at times, man, I was just sold out. Maybe you felt like you were left abandoned in a place, and you're wondering, God, where are you? I mean, you got to think about what Joseph is going through, what's happened in his life. If you think about, like, did he deserve this? No, he didn't deserve it. That his brothers would despise him, that his brothers would reject him. I'm talking about his own flesh and blood. Hated him so much that they sold him off into slavery. And then he finds himself, after he rises above that, he presses through in life. And maybe you've done that. Maybe you've been through some stuff, and you've been able to press through that and just say, you know what, I'm not allowing that stuff to hold me back. I'm not allowing what happened to me as a child, as a young person growing up, I'm not allowing that garbage to hold me back. And you've pressed through, and you've pressed through in that situation, and God has honored you, right? I mean, God honored Joseph in Potiphar's house, put him in control of basically everything in his home. He had such favor, from slave to managing this high official, this person of prominence, managing his affairs. He wasn't wearing rags. He wasn't in chains. He was able to tell people, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to, you know, just that. God honored him, blessed him. But then he found himself in a prison wondering, God, where are you? What is happening? Why have you forsaken me? Year after year after year, sitting in this prison, wondering. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're in one of those seasons where you just feel like, God, where are you? What's happening? Have you forgotten about me? Have you ever felt like that? You ever been there? God, where are you? And what's going on in my situation and my season right now? Listen, let me remind you about something, because here's where we get a little bent out of shape. When things start to happen in our lives, and we seem to press through something, and we seem to experience the blessing of God and the favor of God and the provision of God, and we start to get comfortable there, and we think, this is it. I've arrived. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm sure Joseph liked working in Potiphar's house. Who wouldn't? He liked it. But guess what? That wasn't the vision that God gave Joseph, was it? What vision did God give Joseph? That he would be in a place of such prominence that his brothers would even bow down and worship him. He didn't understand what that meant, but that wasn't the vision. Potiphar's house was not the vision that God had put inside of his heart. It was a nice place. It was a great place. It was a place of comfort, ease. He ate good. He wore great clothes. He had a great situation, enjoyed the authority that was given to him. But it wasn't where God called him to be. It wasn't the end. See, sometimes we get so comfortable with where we're at. And sometimes we just want to settle for that. Can we be honest this morning? Sometimes we say, you know what? I'll settle for Potiphar's house. So what that I'm considered a slave? I don't live like one. God didn't call him to be a slave. And so he may have gotten comfortable there, but then he finds himself in this prison again. See, God's doing something in you. He's doing something in your life. Everything under heaven, all time, seasons, all of it is under heaven. It's under God's control. God is working in our lives because he sees something in us. Listen, God, you know, he doesn't reserve all these big things. When we read through the Bible and read through stories like Joseph and different ones, we think, oh man, those are just reserved for special people. And I'm not a special person. I'm just an ordinary person. God has something amazing. He has something that he wants to do in your life. And there's a place that he wants to bring you to. It's going to be tempting along the way to get comfortable in Potiphar's house. It's going to be tempting to get comfortable and settle down where you are because, well, even though you might be a slave, you know, at least you don't live that way. And you may not be exactly where God wants you to be, but you're not there, but it's okay. It's comfortable. It's better than where I was. It's better than the pit, right? And sometimes God allows things to happen because that's not our destiny. That's not where he wants us to be. And so Joseph is sitting in prison for years. And then finally, he interprets the dream of the Pharaoh. And he's made the second most powerful, only to Pharaoh, second most powerful man in all of Egypt. What an amazing story, right? I mean, when you read through it, it's like, wow. There's a reason why there's 14 chapters of Genesis that are spent telling the story of Joseph, because it's such an important part of the history of Israel, the history of the Jewish people. But I love this story because it doesn't paint the story of everything's perfect. Life is full of joyous, amazingly awesome experiences, and life is full of pain and agony and grief. But all of it, if we can embrace this, if we can understand this, all of it is under heaven. All of it's under God's control. If you think that only the good things that happen to you are the things that God does, that are bad that happen in your life are because God doesn't like you, He's forsaken you, you're going to live a tormented life. You're going to live stressed out. But if you'll grab a hold of and embrace the fact that it's all under heaven, God is in control, right? I believe that the season that you're in, no matter what season it is, I believe that the season you're in is setting you up for a spiritual win. It's setting you up. If we had time this morning to just share our seasons. Some of you would say, man, I'm in a good time right now. This is good. Enjoying life, enjoying this season. And it's easy for us to just say, hey, let's just camp out here. Let's just stay here. See, God sees something in you that you can't see, that you don't understand. You may be in a season where you're like, this stinks. I hate it. Every day I wake up, I just want the day to be done fast. I don't like what's happening at work. I don't like what's happening in my family. I don't like what's going on around me. Can I encourage you? I believe the season you're in is setting you up for a spiritual win. God is setting you up for a spiritual win. Do you believe that He loves you? Do you believe that He has a purpose for your life? Do you believe that He can take what the enemy means for evil? That He can take the things that are the weapons, those things that are fashioned against us, meant to destroy us? Guess what? Joseph's brothers meant to destroy him. They did not mean to set him up for success. The last thing they wanted was to see their brother get to that place where they had to bow down before him. They were jealous. They hated him. The enemy had filled their hearts with so much nastiness, and that was what they attempted to do, destroy him. But it does not matter what the enemy throws at you and I. He cannot destroy what God has planned for you and I. And here's the deal. Does that mean let's just kick back and just do our thing and God will do His thing? That's not the point. See, we have to submit to that process. We have to embrace the fact that God's in control. There was something that Joseph understood. I don't know when he learned it. I don't know if his father taught him this principle, if it's something that just clicked inside of him. But as you see his life and you see the journey that he was on and the seasons that he went through, you can see that he understood something. He didn't get bitter and twisted. And at the end of his life, when he had an opportunity, as the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, and a plague took place, and all of a sudden, now, here's what happens. His brothers have to come to Egypt to get food because there's a famine. I mean, tell you, read the story. It's amazing. And he sees his brothers. He notices them, and he's like, whoa. They don't notice him because they don't even expect him to be alive. And at the very end of his life, when he has an opportunity to take their heads and just rub their noses in it, he doesn't do that. He doesn't take that opportunity. As a matter of fact, he goes out of his way to show them grace, to show them mercy, to forgive them. And he sets them up for success. Something was in his heart. And instead of getting twisted and bent out of shape about what was going on in his life, he embraced it. I don't know if he sat in prison and he just thought, this is setting me up for a spiritual win. This is setting me up for something big. I think he might have sat in prison and said, man, so nice in Potiphar's house. It was such an amazing opportunity. I wish I could go back to, if I could just go back to Potiphar's house, I don't think he even had a clue that he was ever going to be the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. What are you going through this morning? What season are you in? Are you at the beginning of a season? Are you in the middle of a season? Are you at the end of the season? I wish I could tell you. I wish, you know, we had that knowledge. I wish we understood. Wouldn't it be great if you just knew, like, okay, I'm wrapping this season up. I just know it. Just one more week. I can hang on. Sometimes the seasons feel like they're never going to end. Have you ever been there? But the amazing thing is, just when you think this thing's never going to end, all of a sudden the clouds part, the sun comes out, and you're like, it's a new day. Something just happened. Something just changed. I believe God is setting you up. The season that you're in is setting you up for a spiritual win. Because God is wanting to do something in your life. He's wanting to do something through your life. Don't get comfortable in Potiphar's house. And don't get discouraged while you're in the prison. Don't think, well, I've been abandoned. No one even thinks about me. I've been overlooked for that promotion. I've been left behind. Nobody even notices me anymore. God's setting you up. Do you believe that? I believe that. This isn't just something, I'm not just trying to hype you up this morning. I'm not even trying to hype you up this morning. I'm telling you, this is, man, I have embraced this and I've experienced this. And man, if we look back at the different seasons we've been through in life, young people, you're going to go through some seasons. You're going to have some great times. You're going to have some amazing experiences in life. And then there's going to be some things that are painful that happen in your life. All of it is under heaven. God is in control, right? If you'll embrace him, if you'll hold on to him, not just young people, all of you, if you think of yourself as young, all of us, God is in control of everything that touches our lives. He's setting us up for a spiritual win. Ecclesiastes 12, this is kind of the wrap-up of Ecclesiastes. Solomon's writing his final remarks. He says in verse 13 and 14, fear God and keep his commandments. After all this, everything, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. God's in control. He's keeping track. If you're in the prison this morning, maybe you're in the pit. Maybe you're in Potiphar's house. I don't know where you're at. But he's trying to take you to the palace. He's trying to set you up for something that you have no idea if you'll let him. If you'll let him. Keep your heart pure before him. Listen, this morning, you might be so twisted inside because things have happened to you and you felt like you were overlooked. You felt like you were lied about. You felt like you were rejected. You've got all these different things going on and you're twisted inside. Let it go. Let that stuff go. Because it'll keep you from experiencing what God wants you to experience. Can we do that this morning? Would you stand with me? Can we embrace what God has for us? Can we let go of those things that the enemy's trying to use to destroy us? Father, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you would God, that you'd help us to embrace this truth. You know, the enemy wants to do everything he can to keep you holding on to the lies. If you think, man, this is all there is. This is it. I'm stuck here. I'm stuck here in this situation. Father, in Jesus' name, we hold on to the truth of your word. We hold on to the promises of your word. And we embrace it, Lord, for ourselves. God, we embrace the fact that you are in control of all of our time, of all of our seasons, of all of our moments, of all of the things in our lives. God, you are in control. And you're setting us up for a win. God, would you just infuse hearts this morning with that hope, with that peace, with that strength? In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's worship the Lord.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.